Welcome, hello, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436-580-KIDO. That is our number. If you prefer email, it's dave@petsofinancial.net. Obviously, we've got to talk about the volatility and talk about our own investing habits and how we think about times like this, how we fight our own human nature. And I'm really going to dive into that in the monologue in the next hour, okay? There's just really not as much time right now. But I'm going to lay a little bit of a foundation and talk about a couple of things, a couple of the, if you will, the charts and graphs that we will be, again, for the umpteenth time, using. And what I mean umpteenth, perhaps it's updated, but it's basically the same story, if you will, right? Were investors better 20 years ago than they are today? I mean, we have so much more information at our fingertips, right? And all that information we can grab, we're more knowledgeable, we understand markets better. Or do we, right? I mean, so we need to really look back at such things as, you know, the market for the last 20 years, approximately. This is through 2020, not 21. It would be a slightly higher number. But basically, it has earned, with two 50% market setbacks, by the way, still has earned 7.5%. That's the S&P 500. Okay, some sectors, small cap, have earned a little bit more and so on and so forth. Emerging markets, believe it or not, I thought emerging markets have been in the toilet for so long that they would be on the bottom end of this. But they've earned actually 10%. So you, as we look at all these different asset classes all the way across, bonds and so on, we get all the way down to what the average investor has returned, right? Because we have so much information, we know exactly what's going on, right? We dial in all the time. Now remember, the market left alone just did 7.5 per year compounded for the 20-year period. The average investor earned less than 3%, 2.9. Less than 3%. And of course, you might say, well, their portfolio was diversified. And you would be correct. That would be a correct assessment, right? That would be diversified in some of those things like foreign markets, like I said, emerging markets and things like that that didn't do as well. But bonds alone earned almost 5%. Bonds. Just leaving your money in a bond fund. Not a high-yield bond fund. High-yield bonds actually did over 8%, okay? So I'm not cherry-picking this. I'm just going with 60% stocks, 40% bonds is over 6%. The average investor didn't even earn 3. So what's changed? As we go back and look at it 20 years ago when I was talking about the same chart, you will not believe this. The Dalbar study, which is a study of money flows in and out of the market, can't be 100% accurate, but it's pretty close. It always consistently, the 20-year period from 1980 to 2000, from 90 to 2010, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It doesn't matter when. The average investor has done so much more poorly than underlying investments that you honestly couldn't try to be that bad. I mean, trying to be that bad, you couldn't succeed, is a better way of saying it. You couldn't say, I think the market's going to go up, so therefore I'm going to go short, or I'm going to stay out. You couldn't try and be successful at being this bad. But it's time after time. And so you would think, since I've been doing this for over 40 years now, I can't even believe it either. But watching this happen, you'd say, okay, and doing Money Matters now for over 30 years, well over 30 years, and talking about this chart, that chart, why investors have to wake up and be careful, and why our own behavior is exactly what we have to focus on. Not what do you think about options, or what do you think about small caps, large caps, this and that. It's up to us. And that's where everything happens. Can you leave it alone when there's turmoil? Well, I can. I will. Blah, blah, blah. Really? Doubtful. Doubtful. Now, some do. I totally get it. Many don't. But here's the underlying thing, and we're going to talk a lot about this in the next hour. Everybody thinks, everybody knows, this time's different. But we've never had a Joe Biden, a completely impotent, horrifying president. Yeah, I hear that every day. We've never had anything like Joe. Okay? I think we have had other incompetent people. Well, yeah, but this is worse. And then if he gets to, you know, he's mentally incapable. I get it. He's a bad leader. This does add another level of uncertainty. I certainly will acknowledge that. But the thing is that is the same about all of this is the fact that we have not actually solved this problem. We have not moved past Joe Biden. We have not moved past Afghanistan and that vision of what China and now, of course, obviously, Russia saw and moved forward. What's next? Good question. I don't know. I don't know. But these are the things that really come and lay over top of it. This time is different. Is the really, to me, is the crux of what the case is that people make for why they are going to govern their investments by pure raw emotion. Hey, this is why I'm going to run around like a chicken with my head cut off. This is why I'm going to go absolutely crazy. And this is why I'm going to break everything I said I would do, which would be I would be calm, cool, and collected, and I would not be an emotional wreck in dealing with my money. But this time's different, so I'm going to emotionally react and pretend I'm not. We do it all the time. All the time. In all things. Right? Right? It's in all things. All right. So I'll tell you what. We're going to talk a lot about this and a lot of data. And I'm just going to tell you, Jennifer Stone did a great job, sent a letter out to our clients. And I'm going to share that with you and some of the charts and data and things. It's great stuff to talk about the market in a non-emotional way. Fear sells. And fear sells really bad investments that won't work. Never have. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We need to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. Let's go ahead and go to the phones. Spinner.
Good morning, Mr. Petso. Thank you so much for taking my call, sir.
My pleasure.
I'll get straight to the point, man. The pandemic had pretty well taken absolutely everything from me financially. The only thing that I was really able to obtain through the whole ordeal was having a wife and having the greatest gift of my son. And seems that I'm trying to regain my financial infrastructure. And it's not a sob story, just I made wrong mistakes, but I want to do better. What would you recommend for someone that really doesn't not necessarily understand, because I get the concept of investing, but what would you recommend for a novice or a beginner to approach that investing opportunity? And is there any recommendations between investing in, I don't know if I'm using the correct terminology, sir, so please excuse me, like physical assets, or would you recommend the Bitcoin investments?
Neither of the last two. Okay, I don't know how you value Bitcoin, and so I'm not saying it's worth zero. I'm not saying it's not worth 100,000. I just don't know that has an investment place. And the second part is a lot of studies for that have been done, as far as from J.P. Morgan and Goldman Sachs, which really is nothing more than taking data, and it's short term because Bitcoin hasn't been around a long time. But its correlation to stocks and other investments seems to be very high. In other words, it doesn't have any real diversification characteristics. It isn't an asset class is probably the best way. I think J.P. Morgan's the one that put it that way. This just doesn't fit as an asset class, period. Putting it in a portfolio increases the risk of a portfolio. Doesn't decrease it. Doesn't increase the return potential of the portfolio. It is just not a positive in a portfolio. That isn't going to stop millions of people from investing and assuming they're going to get rich in Bitcoin. I get it. Okay. Lots of people will. But if we're talking about really investing, what you need to do to get started, gold, I'll probably end up with another chart of that in our second hour here, because it has never done anything over a long period of time. It just hasn't. It's one of the worst asset classes on the planet. It's worse than bonds in a near zero interest rate environment. So I don't think that gold makes sense, okay? So hard assets. And I'm not going to say, well, I think what it really ought to do is go get a pile of zinc or copper or something. Again, commodities have had a terrible rate of return. In fact, that's the only category over the last 20 years, virtually only category, that's done worse than, as I pointed out, the average investor's done, okay? So is commodities. So they've done terrible. They've actually had a negative return, compounded negative return every year for 20 years, an incredibly bad record. So yes, I can't go with that. What I would say is this. Focus on the beginnings. Putting money away. Like, can I put away $500 a month? No, you can't. Okay. Then whatever that number is, start. I don't care what the number is. Start, because it's easier to add to than it is to actually start. If I'm going to wait around until I can put away $10,000 a month, that day probably will never come. And so what we want to do is get started, and then you bump it more and more and more. And a Roth IRA, as long as your household income is under, you know, just a little over $200,000, is the best way to do that I know of, because the money builds up tax-free. It comes out tax-free, and you have multiple choices to do that. And I don't want you to make choices of what category you think is going to do well. Just do stocks. Stocks always have. They're always at the top of the list, always over long periods of time. And that's what we're talking about, Spinner. We're not talking about the next year. I don't know what's going to happen over the next year, 3 years, 5 years. What I do know is over my lifetime, the market's done 10% a year. Over my dad's lifetime, it's 10% a year. Over my youngest, over my oldest child, it's 10% per year. Over my grandchild, right? It's going to be 10. It's a magic, weird thing. But we have to stay in it, and you have to go through times where this time is different, and this time it feels different, and I don't know about this guy, or what's going to happen with this, 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 and this. And in a world that overexposes us to information, which is also an amazing blessing, we have the opportunity, you have the opportunity, to buy the greatest corporations in the world for free. For free. It used to be you had to pay a lot of money to buy stocks. Now you pay nothing. You can buy ETF, anything you want, whether it's Robinhood or in the next thing I was going to say, Spinner, before I run out of time here. If you need help, go get it. I don't know why people are afraid to go to an advisor. Just find one that's a fiduciary, right? Don't find a clown that's pimping you an equity indexed annuity or some other product. That's not even a financial advisor. You know why? Because they're not even licensed, because then they can say things and not disclose things that they don't want to have to disclose. Like, this actually has a 10% commission involved. They don't even have to say that. So these are the kind of things that I think you can do in unison. But most of all, get started, and all that information is available all over the internet. Just stay away from the doomsday stuff, and you'll be okay. Spinner, thank you. I got a roll, as you can tell. Everybody, hour two of Money Matters is coming up after Fox News. I don't think you're going to want to miss this monologue. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Hey, of course, these are my opinions and my opinions only. It's not the station, any broker-dealers, any of that. That's it. And we're not here to buy, and sell and crazy stuff like that. We're here to talk about our own emotions, our own feelings of how we invest, and the importance of money in all of our lives, the importance of fighting fear, all of those things that ultimately determine more than picking the right investments, how you actually do. And the idea of making noise and trading and things like that may be exciting. It's like, you know, betting on a flip of a card or a roll of a dice. But that's not what we do. That's not what serious money ever does. In this world, it's easy to create multi-generational wealth over time. And it's also true in this world of instant gratification. It's extremely hard to think about over time. We just think about and get involved in the day-to-day. And why not? It's right in front of us. It's on every screen we look at. Even that thing we sometimes, incorrectly, of course, call a telephone. Because it's really a computer, it's a connector, it's everything. And also we can talk to other people on it, or we can do video with it, right? Do FaceTime. All these things are amazing blessings and have changed our lives, but not in the most important way in my mind. You are free to get completely fussed up about things that probably never bothered you much before. Or wouldn't have if it wasn't on the 24/7 loop. I better go and check and see what's going on in Europe overnight. Disrupting your sleep, disrupting how you feel about everything by pushing the button and getting more information that not that long ago really wasn't available. And then the pounding of the media 24/7. Boom, boom, boom. We're all going to die. Market's super volatile. What are we going to do? And we're drawn away. Now, I want to start this a little bit and get into some charts and stuff that Jennifer Stone at our office that has been, Jennifer and I have been working together for 27, 28 years, something like that. She's just fantastic. Done a great job, certified financial planner, all that stuff. And runs our office. Sent this out on Monday, and it really, to me, says, it doesn't say it all. Maybe it says it all because it's so brief. Let me open this hour with this. Stay the course is the title. Stay the course, of course. Sounds simple, doesn't it? However, sitting on your hands is never an easy thing to do. Investing requires discipline and not reaction. It requires sticking with the plan that was designed to meet your objectives and not changing it based on current conditions. We understand the concerns of today and how the feeling of this time is different, maybe starting to creep in. Remember, there always are events and concerns. We just have moved past the ones, we've solved the ones in the past and moved on. We have and always will stay the course. There's a few things attached to this, and the reason I bring this letter up, too, is because it's brief, it's to the point. Why can't we sit on our hands? What is the matter with us that we can't? Why do we do this over and over again and expect different results? And I don't know that I can answer that except to call it something broad like human nature. And we'll dive into some of these things about why it's so important. I opened the last hour by talking about the average investor getting 2.9% the last 20 years per year in a market that did 7.5, in a market that bonds did over 5%. Bonds. We are our most destructive creatures. We decide that we know because of a parade of the big box showing us, telling us every moment of every day how it's not going to end well. And we think we're being rational when we say, I'll just go ahead and go to the sidelines for a little while. And it's over. It's done. You are now relegated to the world's worst investment people pile. And it's a big pile. So you'll have a lot of company in that. And I know, there's a lot of reasons why you're going to justify it. But there's this, but there's that, and I'm coming back. I know this works. I know a cup of coffee for 40 years, $5 a day, is $1.1 million. I get this works long term. Just not for me right now. It's over. It's over. And we just don't know it. Because now you've entered the dark side. You've decided that you are going to be a market timer. I'm not timing the market. I'll come back. I'm just going to be right back. Or, here's a great one. How many times have you said this to yourself if you're over age 65? Hey, we're just too old to go through another 08. Have you said that for the last, how long was 08 ago? Have you kept saying that? I know I hear it all the time. Long term is not for me. Okay. But it is, or it seems to be, long term is for you when we have no other alternatives. Like, let's put it in the bank and lose 5% a year to inflation. That's not a plan. That's ludicrous. I know. Let's pay 10% commission, put it in an equity indexed annuity. Because it's guaranteed. Guaranteed not to work. Straight up. Now, they don't have to disclose that. Don't worry. They're not actually licensed financial advisors. Because they would have to have the disclosures in it. In anything they do. Anything you do. So when we talk about things like staying the course, and we talk about the volatility that's natural and normal and certain to occur over and over again all the days in our lives, then why do we collectively as human beings freak out when that happens? I don't know. It's interesting. The smartest people are often the dumbest people. They really are. When it comes to investing, because we don't acknowledge that this is a game of emotions. Not wit. Not picking the best investments. Not the smartest ones. Sure, I know more stuff than you do. I've been doing it for 40 years. I have some things that are pretty cool on the side and over here. But I don't know what the future is any more than anybody else. I don't know what the next thing that's going to hurt the market is until it happens. How many times have you heard everybody talking about with such certainty that they know it's going to be inflation, it's going to be raising interest rates. When this happens, that happens, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And there's sometimes you go through the most amazing thing. What if we went through a pandemic? Well, and unilaterally, the world just shut down. We ruined supply chains. Inflation became a problem. They just threw money out of helicopters at everybody. And millions of people died. Well, you would know for absolute certainty that the market would go down, but it didn't, did it? See, even if you know things, you don't know what the reaction of the market will be to that. So when we talk about staying the course, or absolutely to occur over and over again all the days of our lives, market corrections, and yes, not just corrections, bear markets. I counted them up since my 40 years. I've been through six. That means 20% or more declines. The average is around 30. Six times since 1980. And the Dow has gone from 800 to 35,000. With those included, it's part of the game. We know it's part of the game. You know it's part of the game. But what happens then, because you're a human being, is when it happens, we look at the news and we zero in. You know, I think I'd, instead of watching merely 4 hours of garbage heaped on me every day. But that's okay, because I can handle it, man. I can handle it. I can handle endless streams of bad news, 4 hours a day. But see, I limit myself. I only take 4 hours a day. Unless there's, of course, a crisis, then I really hone in, and I spend only 6 hours in front of one or two or three different boxes. I mean, I do have to go shopping once in a while. So, but at least I can take my Sirius radio and listen to all the bad news on the way to and from. And then, of course, I can take my the thing they call a phone, and we can turn it on, and we can have it follow us around with bad news all the time while we work out. All of those things. Because that's going to make sure that I have less clarity of the world and more certainty it's all bad and all going to end soon. And then I can react emotionally to my investments. I don't think that's anybody's plan. But it's what people do. It's human nature. The average drawdown per year. Now, what does that mean? At some point, the average drawdown, meaning if the market goes up 10 and then we find and then it goes down at some point in time, the average per year since 1980, by the way, a fairly substantial amount of time, is 14% a year. Now, what does that mean? That means some years you've only fallen 5%. The market just kind of steadily went higher, steadily moved its way up. Sometimes we have a catastrophic drop, like in 08, when it went down 49% from the high of the year to the lowest point, that percentage drop. We didn't drop that much for the year. We dropped 38%, not exactly a good year that year. But on average, it's 14% every single year for the last 41 years. On average. But when you think about, we just had a 10% drop in the S&P 500. What does it feel like? Does that feel average and normal to you? Doesn't it feel like with all the news and everybody screaming and yelling and talking about it and us constantly blinking at the box that it's way worse than that? We've never seen anything like this. And always with different people and different news and different things, we never have seen anything like this. It's true. So it's easy to convince ourselves that this time is different because every time is different in some way, shape, or form. And the future is... well, it's unpredictable. I know you think you can predict it. I know the guy on TV has predicted 6 of the last, 160 recessions. Why? Because they predict it all the time. And so when they're right, like a stopwatch, the hero is paraded around as a soothsayer and a great seer of the future. Just send $300 a year and we'll put you on our subscription so you can catch the next one. Marketing schemes everywhere. The certainty of our own, it's all unsure. It is so unsure. And it throws us off. And particularly important in this time, where stocks always win. And you know, if you've listened any time to this program, you know how fair I am. I mean, I'm serious about this. I am totally 100% serious. We do not come out here and cherry pick numbers. I don't ever do that. I mean, never. In fact, I show you all the time. Here's why you can't believe anybody about the last 5 years, because now we're getting on this really downtime, and it's going to show all of these mutual funds and all these investments being the greatest thing in the whole wide world forever and ever because they did 25% a year because it's measured from the bottom in 08, for example. We want to go back to a really bad time. Like, how about the peak of investing in 2007? How have we done since then? Not the bottom of 08, 09. We want to do that. We want to take a very volatile fund and talk about how in the long run, even these aggressive investments that have gone down, let's call it 15 times, they have more than 20% corrections. Why? Because they're full of tech stocks. But their average returns are so much greater. We want to show the bad. Does it still work out? Yes, it does. We want to talk about long periods of time, like your lifetime. If you're not spending all of your money, why would you invest like you were? keep investing it for future generations or the charities you're going to give it to. Of course, being safe and making sure and all those things. But when we talk about a 14% average correction, which can be as high as 49% and as low as 3%, but always we have drawdowns. Always. And as we look since 2007, this may surprise you, because in 2007, it was so bright you had to wear shades, right? I mean, it was amazing. Everybody, just go ahead and get some loans, buy some real estate, it's going up. Everything was working and everyone was confident. We know what happened. But I want to talk about this, these returns from the market peak in 2007 and the disaster, which was a 50% sell-off in the U.S. stock market in 2008. Stocks are now cumulatively up from the peak in 07, after a right out of the chute 50% drop, another 30% drop in 2020, are now up well over 300%. 300%. You may ask about things like gold, a 10-year treasury. How about the consumer price index? Home prices, of course, because it's red hot. I could have parked in cash and done really well. How about oil? Oil's down. Literally, cumulatively down. 10-year treasury earned 4.2. Not bad. But stocks, even going down 50% right out of the chute, from the peak in 07, are up 10.6%. Per year, compounded. Nothing is even close. Nothing is even close. And measured from the high, not the low. An honest assessment. History's on the side of stocks. It always has been. But if we don't stay the course, we don't hang in there. And we think about this from this perspective too. Look, you think you can time the market. I get it. Step to the side. Don't worry about it. It won't cause any psychological damage to you. It won't. Don't worry. It doesn't bother you. You're okay. Other people, I get it. Right. They only get 2.9% because they're so bad. But I got this, and it's only a one-time thing, and it's all right, and it won't psychologically impair me. Look, one more thing, and then I'm out. Over the past 20 years, and I've done this over and over and over, I want one more look at this. If you were fully invested in the market, 8% plus, over 8% return, fully invested, the good, the bad, and the ugly. But if you miss just the best 30 days, this is a 20-year period, 100% of your gains are gone. 100%. You are now losing. It's a negative return. And honestly, if you only missed the 10 best days, your returns are cut in half. Here's one more piece. Because some of you are super smart. And you're going to get, yeah, but what if I miss the 10 worst days? Sparky, what if I miss that? Well, here's what you need to understand. Six of the 10 best days, six of the 10 best days occurred within 2 weeks of the 10 worst days. You think you're going to trade that? You stepped aside, then you got back in, got that big day, got back out. No, you didn't. Nobody can trade like that. And even on a shorter term basis, are you ready for this? I mean, this is really remarkable. When we have had our worst extreme down days, okay? And by the way, we've had a few of them recently in the last, since the pandemic. They make the top 20 of all time. One, two, three times are in 2020 alone. 1 year later, there was only one time in 2008 when we had a 9% drop in a day. The market was down 4% a year later. Do you know what the average is? up over 30. Up over 30. It's pretty amazing. The 15 largest down days that range from 20%, over 20% in 1987 crash, down to just under 7. And of course, the 3-year, the 5-year, the 10-year are all positive. 100% of them. Only 1 year was minus 4 a year later. That's what you miss when you step aside. You miss for no reason that the market on Thursday turned around. It was down 3.5% on the NASDAQ. About 3 on the S&P 500. And closed higher on the NASDAQ by 2.5%. Why? It must have been some news. And I'm sure if you were watching business news, they gave you a reason. And it wasn't something like, hey, market just ran out of downward momentum. That's it. All over. All done for the day anyway. Was it because Russia suddenly pulled out of Ukraine instead of rolling across? No. Was it because interest rate? No. The Fed? No. Joe Biden? No. No. None of the above. So in other words, the news item that turned the market around was non-existent. There was none. It just happened. And then yesterday just happened again. With hundreds of points on the Dow and another couple percent on the NASDAQ. Out of nowhere on bad news. Remember that. Markets just go. And then when they run out of momentum on the upside or downside, then they just go. There is no news. But there's a hound of people out there called the media just babbling about it. Babble, 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 babble. Here's the reason why. Babble, babble, babble. Like we ought to be trading every day. Like oil went up. Oil went down. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. We should be trading. No. You should be owning the great corporations of the world. That's why it's important to understand who we are, what we are, and to stay within yourself. Don't chase. Dial down the noise. And try to sleep well. So that you have clarity. Clarity of what's worked your entire life. And we stay the course. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetzoFinancial.net. Clearly, I'm way over time. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. You know, I just was thinking about this, too, at the break. By the way, our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO, Dave at PetzoFinancial.net. Just think about that, you know, how crazy it is we get in a time like this. And I want to say something, too, that I'm here to talk about money. But I like all of us, am just heartbroken when you see the stories. You see somebody's car run over by a tank. And I all my life, since I was a child, Russia has been, I don't want to say bad actors because they're just awful people. And it really has a historic perspective, too. They don't follow the rules, if you will, of engagement. And it is heartbreaking because the Ukrainians seem to be, I'm sure they have bad people there, too, amazing and kind and nice people and are happy to be moving forward into the world. And loving their independence, and they're dying. The real people are dying. Real human beings are dying. This isn't just they aren't just pawns somewhere. And so I do want to express that, and it's not without that backdrop that we talk about staying the course and understanding that this too will pass, and other things will come, and we will worry about those, and trying to get our own emotions under control. We have to. We have to. There's so much coming at us every day. And the world seems upside down, non-just. And we seem to go through periods of that often. But this too will pass. Lots of bad stuff has passed before. But I just wanted to say, in a real human context, this isn't just about money. These people are dying. Let's go to the phones. Jim, you've been waiting patiently. Welcome.
Hey, Dave. What's happening?
I'm just hanging in there, like the rest of us, watching this drama.
Well, from what you just said, don't you feel a little guilty making a lot of money while people are biting the dirt? Isn't that a bummer?
Yeah, you know what? It's not a bummer. It's just one of those things that puts everything in perspective, that there's real people dying. And well, that all that matters is you have health and you have life.
Yeah, you can be appreciative of where you live and the opportunity God gave you and the economics and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to give you a success story. Good old Jimbo here. Well, I started investing, I guess, in 08, actually. And I've now got like over 100 stocks, you know, like 100 share lots and stuff like that. And at the end of every year, I do a compounded analysis of the appreciation. And as of the end of 2020, overall, I was up like 7.53%. That went up at the end of last year to like 10.75%, like you were saying, about 10% or something.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, I mean, you know, and my thing is not to sell. To me, I get a lot of enjoyment out of buying. I do not sell.
Yeah.
but you know, I mean, in the last couple of weeks, when things have been biting the dirt, the one thing I do not do is look at my statement, you know. I mean, last week I was thinking, I wonder how much cash I've got in the account, you know, and I'd like to find out. But if I do, it'll show me the balance of the account, which I'd rather not see.
That's true.
So, you know, I mean, out of sight, out of mind, don't worry about it.
Well, that's true, and I think that's a great thing. You remind me of a 2008, and one of my personal favorite and appreciative phone calls. It was in 09. But a year before, as the caller had called in 09, she recalled that I had called you and in the midst of the 08, you know, which really means October, you know, it all happened in October. The slow down from 2007 was slow until October, right? And then the world was... And she was very, very, very freaked out, as were a lot of people. That's not unique at all to her. And I just simply said at that time, okay, I understand. It's really difficult. So don't open the statements. Just don't. And I never thought about it again. Except when I said it, honestly, I thought, that sounds like a good idea, actually. It doesn't sound like I'm being an ostrich and pretending that there aren't, tigers and lions above me. It is saying that I am going to react emotionally and I need to not do that. And so I'm not going to look right now. And so it wasn't a bad idea. And a year later she called and was quite emotional, made me quite emotional, because she said, I finally opened my statement and I can't believe how much money I have. I have multiples what I had. And before I stopped opening them. And it's just like, yeah, sometimes we need to do that, right? But I so appreciate her sharing that, because it gave us all this perspective of it's okay. Just don't look if it really bothers you, right? Don't look. And you'll behave correctly.
One other thing I'll say is that I've done what I've done. I bought the stocks I've liked. And a lot of technology and medical stocks my advisor buys, you know. Veronica, she likes to do that. I don't like that stuff. But I do not like stuff like Facebook, Google, Apple, Amazon, all the hoopla stocks. I don't have any of it, and I'm doing just fine. The railroads over this compounded time, you know, I own every railroad in the country that hadn't been bought out by some guy like Buffett. But anyway, the railroads are up like 20-25% or something.
Mm-hmm.
They're kicking ass.
Yeah,
I mean, and they're not. Well, they have high tech on the trains, I guess, But, I mean, they're not the latest iPhone 62 or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Jim, thank you. All right. I'll tell you what. We obviously went long on my monologue, so we're going to take a quick break. It's 580-5436-580-KIDO. Fox News is next. Hello, welcome, and once again, thank you for joining us. A reminder again, if you missed anything, want to catch a podcast, and also our past program, those are available on our website. They're also through the Apple Store, and our website, of course, is petsofinancial.com. All right. Let's go. Oh, and our number, 580-KIDO. Terry, how are you? Thanks for calling.
Well, good morning, Professor.
Good morning.
Want to apologize for missing your monologue because I was on a phone call about a young troop down in Texas.
That's okay. So, you got the podcast. It's all right.
That's what I was going to say. Thank you for the podcast. So, but it, basically, thank you for your people.
Oh, thanks.
Doing good work for me, letting me take care of my people.
Right on.
You got a good shop and good folks going on. And again, it comes back to perspective.
Yeah, and thank you for that, Terry. I am so proud of my group of people. I absolutely in fact, I had this discussion yesterday with Jennifer. I just, you know, when you go back about 27, 28 years with somebody, right? And that we have, and you know, and for me, I've grown old. She's grown up, and so literally, watching her kids grow up, and now they're there too, as you know, Terry. They're there at Petso Financial. I mean, I truly love the people I get to work with, and that's why I keep going. I just really do. This is good for my brain. It's good for my head. It keeps me engaged. My dad is there, for crying out loud. I hired him out of retirement.
Yeah.
And so this is a great love affair with this industry. It's made me wealthy, and wealthier than I ever dreamed I would be. And it also has given me a purpose in my life. And so that I could never thought I would have this kind of drive to continue to another, if you will, to the people come behind us. So thank you for that. They're so important to me. I love them, and I love the job that they did last week on the radio. I listened. Just took a break myself, but I was listening, and my bride and I were enjoying our second anniversary. So there you have it.
Yep. Well, the two things out of that. First off, we prefer to call it advanced middle age, not old.
Yeah, there you go. Because you can find somebody else who's even older, right? Yeah.
But and as far as podcasts, another one, Dennis Prager.
Oh, yeah.
Is always talking about gratitude.
Yeah.
And that's another thing that if you surround yourself with information from people like that, then you have a tendency to spread it through your life and what you do. So
yeah. It's absolutely true. It's a great thing. Terry, thank you.
Thank you, sir,
on every level. And thank you for talking about my group. I love them. Thanks.
Hey, good people collect together.
You bet. I like that. Thank you, sir. And our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. We have plenty of time left in today's program. I'm not going to go on a rant about gold and equity indexed annuity pimps. I'm not. I really am not. I just want to say that this is the kind of thing that brings out more doomsday advertising. And as I pointed out in the very first segment, this is absolutely normal, certain to occur over and over again all the days of our lives. Market correction. But when we're in the midst of it, it doesn't feel like that. It feels like it's insurmountable. We won't get past it. And once again, please don't discount the fact that as a human being, you are wired to be really bad at investing. It is your wiring. It's not your defect as a human being. All human beings are wired to be absolute failures at being afraid of things that can't hurt them. Not like truly hurt them. We may be wired really good for the jungle, I don't think so, because I don't know how you would kill anything in a jungle that wouldn't eat you. But you get the point. Fight or flight is no way what you want to do in a difficult circumstance. I don't want to make my financial decisions based on fear or greed. Everybody says it. Hardly anybody does it. Hardly anybody does it. I mean, collectively, as I pointed out, it's just, it's bad. And so as we head in to another weekend filled with bad news, leaders that are so weak, we just don't, we have to go back to Jimmy Carter to even come close to the weakness. And we have the same people that lit the world on fire are retread to this. The same people that let Putin into Crimea are running this. I get it. How can this end well? It will end okay. It won't end well. Well would it be with thousands of people, and undoubtedly, nobody has the numbers, but that have already died would be alive. And this wouldn't have happened. But the point is, the world is going to move on. There are evil people in the world. There are really stupid politicians. And we got ourselves in a position this last election where we had a really bad choice in the minds of many. So here we are, and it is bad. But none of this matters to the overall economy. Oh, it does in some ways. And if Joe had gotten Build Back Better and all these other things, and we throw out the Supreme Court basically because we pack it, create some new states, go even further left, it would have been decimating to the country. But you see, we didn't. And now maybe we have a wake-up call for Europe. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen, but I do have a feeling that they are waking up. We will see. But I never, ever, I think it served me well, and it served our clients extremely well to believe in the future. Not the greatest, glorious, wonderful future, but a future to believe in. And when you do have a future, you also find human beings trying new businesses. Some work, some grow, some give opportunities. All collectively create a better economy for all. For all. We've got an upside down world. There's no doubt about it. None at all. I totally get it. It feels weird. It bothers me deeply. But we do have to sometimes stop and recognize that, you know what? It wasn't so great in the 1950s or 60s or whatever movie you love watching. Or you're actually like me, grew up in the 70s. It was a wild time. A wild time. A lot of people like me didn't come out the other side. One of my running mates in high school, and I talked about this recently, he went on to become a pastor after surviving overdoses. Seriously. But so many people didn't make it then and didn't make it out to the other side and change their lives. That was the wonderful 70s. Hyperinflation, Jimmy Carter, Richard Nixon. It got through it. I know. And we got Ronald Reagan. Where's Ronald Reagan now? I know. Maybe we're getting ready for him. I don't know. But what I do know is as long as this world continues, and that isn't my choice, but as long as the world continues, we need to be thinking about the future, thinking about the prosperity that the future has always brought. Otherwise, we might as well crawl in the corner and hug our pillow. It's going to be okay. And we got to quit looking at the day-to-day statements as if that's the statement of your net worth, your real worth in the world. And a decision should be made on how to invest. You don't say, now that the market's down, should I sell? Of course not. And nobody says that, except they do in times of turmoil. Hey, I hope you have a great weekend. Let's hope next week brings some more clarity in Ukraine. God bless. Take care.